God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 tells us the importance of adding to our faith the different aspects that help us to increase our faith. And then it goes on to say, if you obtain these things, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encouraging and emphasizing the fact that increasing our faith helps us to better understand what it means to walk the Christian faith. This week you'll be looking at the book of James in your His Word and understanding the concept of faith as you look at James chapter 2. Hebrews 2:8 tells us that we are saved by faith. James chapter 2 tells us of the certain kind of faith that we are to have as God's children and how important that faith is to us. But James also talks about in James 2 verses 14 through 26 that there are three kinds of faith that individuals can have. And emphasizing more importantly, the faith that we should have is the faith that is going to please God based upon our actions concerning how we serve Him. James, from the very onset in James chapter 2, talks about how important faith is because he says faith without works is dead. Now, we understand works is not what gets us into heaven, but we also understand the concept of faith as something that shows our faith to who God is. It shows that we are complete in our works because we are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, then you are going to be obedient to the commandments that I ask you to do. Therefore, we are showing our faith by being obedient to the works that God tells us to do. So faith is extremely important. But you cannot have a faith that saves if you have no works that show God how much you love Him and how important it is. But it's important to realize that there are three different kinds of faith, but there's only a truly saving faith that James talks about in James chapter 2. And we find him discussing, beginning in verse 14, these different kinds of faith with an emphasis on a soul-saving faith. And that's what we want to discuss for just a few moments tonight. So if you have your Bibles, and I know you do, I want us to look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26 tonight. And beginning in verse 14 through 17, we notice the first kind of faith, and we might call this kind of faith a dead faith. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You can substitute the word words for deeds and consider James' example that people with this kind of faith know the correct vocabulary and prayer of what it means to understand sound doctrine. That is the foundation of what God has given us concerning how we follow Him and what sound doctrine is. Sound doctrine is simply following the commandments that God gives us without adding to or taking away from what He desires of us. And people with this kind of faith, they know the correct vocabulary. They understand what prayer is. They understand what it means to have faith, but they have what's called an intellectual dead faith. You can understand Scripture. You can quote Bible verses. But if that's all your faith is, intellectually speaking, to know theology, as some people do in the world, they understand theology, they understand the concept of Christianity, they understand the Almighty God and what He is and how He creates things, they're book smart. But you see, that kind of faith is a dead faith, James says. You can say that you're a Christian, but without showing it also, you're simply giving lip service. So intellectually, a person with dead faith understands what it means to follow God, and they say they follow God, but their works don't show that they follow God. And James says this type of faith is a dead faith. So when we think about that in relation to our own faith, can we say we are intellectually faithful to God? Because if we're intellectually faithful, we're missing the other pieces of what it means to have a faith that God says is complete in Him. So we simply have a dead faith, James says. James says in verse 17 there, he says, it does not have works, it's dead. So show me that you love me. Don't just say that you understand what I'm telling you to do. Don't just quote Bible verses to me, but show me your faith by the works that you do concerning how you love God. Can this kind of faith save? James says, no, it absolutely cannot. And when you look at verses 17 and 20 and 26, three times in the passage, James emphasizes that faith without works is dead. So if we think about that in the realm in relation to our own faith, how is our faith stacked up to what James is talking about? Can we say the type of faith that we have is a knowledgeable faith? And don't get me wrong, it's important for us to understand Bible knowledge. We're going to be judged by our knowledge, so to speak, that we rightly divide the Word of God, teaching it accurately, 2 Timothy 2:15. And we have to know what the Word says because we need to tell people what the Word says, so that's important to us concerning our faith. But if that's the only component of our faith that we think is important, James says your faith is lacking. Because if you show or tell people what they need to do, but you don't show them what they need to do, that's equivalent, James says, to a faith that is dead, a faith that has no works, a faith that is incomplete, he says here. So any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life works out to be a false declaration, he says. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, there are some proponents in the religious world that hate the chapter of James chapter 2. Why? Because it does away with the whole concept of faith only, right? But it's interesting that the only place in the entire Bible that you find the concept of faith only is found in James chapter 2, and James says that it's dead if it does not have works with it. So that negates the whole concept of faith only, that all you have to do is have faith in God, but James is going to talk about that as well too. So certainly this kind of faith cannot save. Dead faith is a counterfeit faith, James says. It lulls a person into this false confidence of eternal life. Well, certainly I believe in God. I've knocked on many a door where people say, I don't need to go to church, but I believe in God. Well, that's a dead faith. Intellectually, they understand there is a God. Intellectually, they know how important it is to have faith in a God that creates things and created them. Intellectually, they know that God created His Son to die for us concerning our salvation. But past that, intellectually, they're going to say they don't need to do anything but believe. Well, James has an answer for that. So do we have this kind of faith? We do if we walk, but if our walk does not measure up to our talk. We do if the works do not measure up to our words, James says, because if they do not or are not compatible, it does not equate to a faith that then saves based upon the works that we do for God. We have to be aware and beware of a merely intellectual faith in God. As I heard one man say, that no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same. He says, any more than he can come into contact with a 220-volt wire and be the same. That is, Jesus is going to change who you are. And so when you come to Him, you want to know or do more than merely know who He is. You want to respond to what He's also done for you. So he goes on not only from a dead faith, but if you look at verses 18 and 19, James talks about a demonic faith. And it's interesting here because you have those proponents of faith only who don't like these verses either. James says in verse 18 and 19, he says, but someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is God? If there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Perhaps to shock any complacent reader, James reminds us that even demons have a kind of faith. If you go and you look back in the book of Mark chapter 3, you think about the unclean spirits. They knew who Jesus was. They said, please don't cast us out. Don't throw us out into the abyss, right? So they knew who Jesus was. They knew the power of who Jesus was. They had faith in who Jesus was. So James says, even you have individuals who have an intellectual faith, but also they have a demonic faith in that it's simply based upon emotions and emotions only. They can feel and understand the concept of who Jesus was. Intellectually, they didn't know Him, but emotionally, they knew how powerful Jesus was. And because they knew how powerful Jesus was and what He can do, they said, we believe in the Son of God. And with that, they trembled at the fact that Jesus could then cast them out and do something to them. So what kind of faith do demons have? Think about the man with a dead faith, the one that was only touched by his intellects. Well, demons are touched by their emotions. Note that it says they believed and they trembled. Emotionalism is extremely dangerous in the church because emotions override intellect, and when they override intellect, it gets you into trouble. With that, because people will be driven only by their emotions to say, God has told me to do this, or this is what I feel. This makes me feel good, so this is why I'm going to do it. Brethren, that's why we have denominationalism. Because when you think about it, somebody says, I don't feel this is what God wants, so therefore I feel this is what we should do. And that's dangerous and it's prideful, because then we override intellectually what God is telling us to do simply based upon our emotions. If God wanted us to do it, brethren, He would tell us what He wanted us to do. And so when we think about it based on the standpoint of faith, God says not only do you have to have an intellectual faith, emotion does play a part in Christianity. I'm not saying it doesn't. Because anyone who does not understand the power of the cross lacks emotion in the concept of what Jesus has done for us. Because God loved us enough to give us His Son to go through the pain and agony that we might have salvation on the cross of Calvary. So intellectually, we have to know the Word of God. Absolutely. And when we think about it from the standpoint of emotions, we should be stirred, because that also helps us to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But one of the things they used to tell us in preaching school all the time, Christianity has to have proper balance. We have to have the intellect, we have to have a faith that saves, and we have to have emotions to understand that we are not simply walking about as robots who do not care for our Lord and Savior, nor for our fellow man and brethren. Because when you think about what the Bible talks about, helping our neighbors, loving each other, love is an extremely strong emotion, is it not? And because we understand how powerful and pulling that love emotion is, it draws us to the cross of Calvary. But I respond because God says to be saved, this is what you must do. Because I understand I have to hear the Word, because I know I have to believe the Word, because I know I have to repent, confess Jesus Christ, and be baptized. Intellectually, I know that that is going to save me. Emotionally, I know that God did all of this because He loved me. So there has to be a proper balance. I've often used the analogy, when you put something in a washing machine, right? When you put something in a washing machine, you ever put a blanket in the washing machine and it gets wet? One of those big down covers or blanket, right? What happens when it gets off balance? Makes a lot of racket, doesn't it? Floor starts shaking. You think the lid's going to come off of the thing? And so what's happening there is because the washing machine is out of balance, it's making noise because it's not what it needs to be. So either you put towels in there, you adjust the load to make sure that it's properly going to cycle through and wash the garment or the blanket. So in Christianity, if we get out of balance, intellectually or emotionally, what happens? Christians make a lot of noise, don't they? Emotionally, they get tied up in the concept of what it means to feel, and they don't follow what God's Word says. Intellectually, they get tied up in the concept of theology, and they forget the emotional aspect to that faith. So James says, look, there's these two kinds of faith that are dueling with each other, and there has to be a balance within those two kinds of faith. So he said, if you don't show me your faith, then that means nothing to me because your faith is dead. So if you show me your faith, but you don't have the intellectual aspect of it also, just like the demons, they also believed, but they didn't follow what God told them to do because intellectually they didn't understand those things. So what kind of faith did the demons have? It was something that touched them, but intellectually they didn't understand what Jesus was telling them to do. So can this kind of faith save? No. You first receive the life, and then after you receive the life, then you reveal the life. So I receive intellectually what God is telling me to do based upon the gospel plan of salvation, right? That's exactly what it tells me to do concerning my salvation. So once I receive it, it's revealed by me being obedient to it. There's the work that saves me. I've got to follow through with what God's plan tells me to do. So do we have this kind of faith? If we just believe the right things and feel the right things, then no. James says that's the wrong kind of faith. I heard someone say one time, and we were discussing the concept of instrumental music. And he said, well, I feel, that's dangerous. I feel this is what God would want. Show me that's what God wants. That's what I want to see. Show me where God says that's what He wants. God will tell you exactly what He needs. His commands are not difficult. They're not grievous. He's not trying to hide anything from us. The plan of salvation is simple. His worship is what He wants based upon how He wants us to follow Him. So if God wanted that, He would tell you He wanted that. not based upon a simple feeling that you had that makes you feel good. People will say, well, I heard the voice of God. Really, what did it sound like? Well, I felt God's presence. How do you feel God's presence separate and apart from what the Word of God tells us to do? You see, so we have to understand we get into dangerous areas concerning our emotions because you have one person that says, God told me to do this or I felt this, and then the other person says, I felt this, and it's in complete opposite to what this person was told to do. God is not a God of confusion. God is not going to tell one person to do one thing and completely tell somebody else to do something completely different. I thought it was interesting when back in the 80s, if it was Oral Roberts or one of those individuals on television that said, you know, if I don't get $1 million, then I'm going to die. God told me, and I feel, that I'm supposed to have $1 million, but if I don't get $1 million by this date, then I'm going to die. Guess what? He's still alive. Somebody jokingly said that, did you hear Oral Roberts died? The check bounced. But God will tell you what He needs from you. And God tells us intellectually to follow this plan, emotionally, love me because of what I did at Calvary, and your faith will be complete. So He doesn't want a dead faith. He doesn't want a demonic faith. What God wants is a dynamic faith. He wants a faith that is complete. He wants it to be what God expects it to be. So look at verses 20 through 26, and let's see what kind of faith this is. James writes, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? It's interesting that he's calling, from the standpoint of who he's writing, those that believe in this kind of faith are foolish. Because James says that's not a faith that's going to save you. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Did you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what kind of faith is this? We know from the other passages that such a faith is based upon the Word of God, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So dynamic faith involves the whole man. Dead faith only touches the intellect. Demonic faith only touches the emotion. Dynamic faith puts the two together and makes the person balanced and complete in God. And that's the kind of faith that God is wanting. The mind understands the truth, the heart desires and rejoices in the truth, and the will acts upon the truth. So those three have to come into line with each other, the intellect, the emotion, giving the dynamic faith, which causes a person to act upon what the Word of God tells him to do. Because I love God, I'm going to do it anyway. So that's the dynamic faith that God is looking for. And to illustrate, James refers to two well-known persons in the Bible. He talks about Abraham and he talks about Rahab. When you think about Abraham's faith, God wanted to know the kind of faith that Abraham said. Okay, Abraham, here's your task. I really want to see that you're willing to follow me and that you love me. I want you to take your son up on that mountain and sacrifice him on the altar for me. Abraham did exactly what God required of him. He showed his faith by being obedient to what God asked him to do. But with that, we see that he was duly rewarded for having an obedient faith, and God did not require his son at the hand of that sacrifice. When we think about what Rahab did concerning sending the spies out a different way, or the individuals there that were helping to send them out a different way, we see that she was showing through her faith to show that she was being obedient to God. And so with that, what James is saying is that faith without works is a dead faith. Don't simply give God lip service and say you believe in Him. That's the first step to salvation. But there's another process that we have to follow with salvation. That is, we have to show God through obedience that we love Him. But the Bible also says that belief is a work too. A perfect faith necessitates work in verse 22. So it's important that each professing Christian, when you think about the concept of what faith is, has to examine his or her own life along with their heart. So when we think about learning, we think about teaching our children early, right? They don't fully understand the gravity of the situations concerning God's love. They don't know how heavy that can weigh on you concerning sin in your life or to show how much you love God. So we begin to teach them, right? We teach them Bible songs. We teach them the basic concept of intellectually knowing God's Word. And then what stirs them concerning that emotion with the intellect, as they get older, they begin to understand how important that love is to them, which makes them respond to the gospel. So it has to be a proper balancing act concerning our Christianity to make sure that we don't get out of balance like the washing machine and make a lot of racket. Intellectually, you have those who love to debate and tell you what's right and what's wrong concerning their opinions with the gospel, right? You have the intellectuals on TV concerning their emotions who are telling you to feel in your heart how much God loves you, but send them money at the same time. God says that's completely false and that's wrong. God says put the two together, as James is talking about. Put what you learned along with how much you love me and complete your faith by showing me. That's what James is talking about here in James chapter 2. Here's some questions we can ask ourselves as we examine our faith. Was there a time when I honestly realized that I was a sinner and admitted to myself and to God? That's a faith. That's a complete faith. Was there a time when my heart stirred me to flee from the wrath to come? Have I ever been seriously worked up over my sins? That's a complete faith. Did I sincerely repent of my sins, making the decision to turn away from them? Did I know and hate sin because I feared God, or do I secretly love sin and want to enjoy it? That's a complete faith. Have I trusted Christ and Him alone for my salvation by responding to the commands that He's given me? Based upon my obedience to the gospel, have I confessed my faith in Christ, been baptized for the remission of my sins, and followed the apostles' commandments, Acts 2 and verse 42? That's a complete faith. And that's the faith that James is talking about. And to be sure, not every Christian has the same degree of faith. Those who have more time to grow should be stronger in their faith. And when we understand to add to our faith, as Peter talks about in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8, and besides this, Peter says, giving all diligence, putting forth an effort, which means I have to work at it. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. All of those things don't simply happen because I believe in them. They happen because I put forth the diligent effort to add that to my faith because I love my God. And with that, James says, now you get it. Now your faith is complete. You have the intellect. You have the emotion. We put those together. Now my faith is dynamic, and it's what God wants it to be. So my prayer is that of the psalmist. The psalmist writes in 139, 23 through 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our faith leads us to do exactly that. My question for you this evening is, where is your faith? Is your faith intellectually what it should be? Is your faith emotionally what it should be? Or is your faith, both of those put together, what it should be? To be dynamic and complete. And if it's not all of those put together, James says it's dead. It's not where your faith needs to be. Now, all of us, spiritually speaking, are at different levels of our faith. And that's okay. Some are at the beginning. Some are in later years of life. Some have added many things. Some have increased it. Some have decreased it. Some have strengthened it. Whatever the case is, you know where you are and how your faith is tonight. So if your faith needs to be increased, if you need the prayers of the church, if you're looking for strength, then that's something we want to encourage you to do tonight. We want to pray for you. If your faith is weak and not what it needs to be, if there's something that's lacking in your faith and you need to add to it, then what you need to do is intellectually dive into the Word to look at what God is instructing you to do because you love Him. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, but your faith is increasing because it's telling you what you need to do based intellectually upon what the Word of God says, and you're driven to the cross because of the love you had for what Jesus did, then that's an obedient faith. And so tonight you have the opportunity to obey the gospel of Christ by repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because Paul said you have to make that confession with your mouth, Romans chapter 10, and putting on Jesus Christ in baptism to have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38. And with that, you begin to increase and grow and add to your faith as you are a new babe in Christ. And we don't expect you to be intellectually sound and know everything there is to the Bible, but we want you to know that you love the Bible and you want to learn what it tells you to do based upon emotionally being driven because you love the Lord and you understand how important His Word is. So if you need that tonight, with whatever your faith is, wherever you stand with God tonight, let us help you as together we stand and as we sing.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word.